Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word this morning, we turn to the words of St. Luke chapter 13, where we read verses 22 through 30. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, will it fit through the door? I don't know if you've ever been involved in a move before and watched the movers move all your belongings into your new home. Sometimes it's easy because there's small enough boxes, but sometimes there's very large furniture that they must move through that door, and sometimes it can be very tricky. It's amazing what the movers can do. Will it fit through the door? Even our church council at Zion have lovingly warned me that there might be things I have at the teacherage that may not fit through the door at the parsonage when we move in a couple of weeks. But you and I are not here this morning talking about whether or not things will fit through the parsonage door. No. Jesus comes to us to talk about the most important door of all. Jesus tells us, enter through the narrow door. Jesus will remind us today that he is that very door. And that door is wide open. We find Jesus once again here in Luke chapter 13, making his way from town and village. And as he's going through the towns and villages, he is teaching his holy word to many people. But there's a man who comes up to him and asks him something. He says, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Have you ever thought about that yourself? Are there just going to be a few people who will go through that door to eternal life and the others be shut out? But Jesus really doesn't answer that question. He gives a different answer instead. He said, don't worry so much about how many are going to be in eternal life with God forever. Rather, be concerned about whether or not I and you personally will be in heaven. As you come to church this morning, are you sure that you will be in heaven one day? Or do doubts plague your mind? Jesus tells us, enter through the narrow door. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is telling us and calling on us to repentance, to look at ourselves as small compared to his holiness, compared to his majesty, compared to his boundless grace. Sometimes we like to think that we can carry around the baggage of our sins, that our sins can truly be unforgiven and unrepented of, that we can just go along living in our sinfulness, taking part in our pet sins, thinking that that's no big deal. But Jesus says, think of yourself and your sins and that great guilt that is yours because of that sin. How those sins should horrify us. How filthy those sins are. How rebellious I have been against God in my thoughts and my words and my actions. You may be able to pay your way into a movie theater to get through that door. You may be able to pay your way through the entrance into a ball game. You may be able to pay your way into the entrance of a hotel to stay a night or two. But there is nothing you can pay to get into heaven. Our sins would bar us from entering heaven. Do you ever think about your sins and what a horror they are? But Jesus comes to us today and reminds us there is a solution to this. We can't go through that narrow door with the baggage of all our sins. We will never fit. Jesus says, we come empty-handed before him. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. You see, Jesus invites you to the narrow door. In fact, he says even more. He says, he is the narrow door. It isn't Jesus, my Savior, who brings me to heaven and my works. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus is my forgiveness, my pardon, my grace, my righteousness, my peace with my God. If I look to any other solution, then I'm carrying baggage that will not allow me through that narrow entrance. We just sang in Psalm 103 those beautiful words in that refrain, the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion. Marvel at the fact that I don't deserve that richness of compassion and mercy, but he has shown it in abundance to me and to you. And that causes us to rejoice, to know that we can enter the door to eternal life because Jesus, and Jesus alone, is that narrow door. Go home today too, reminded of the fact that even though the door is narrow, it is wide open. That may happen in a couple of weeks when I hope some volunteers will come from the teacherage bringing my things to the parsonage, and maybe there will be a door that is wide open for the bigger things that have to come through those doors. Jesus tells us that his invitation is open to all, that invitation of salvation. But the devil loves to take those beautiful invitations of the gospel and make us twist them according to our sinful nature. We think, well, Jesus loves me and he will let me into heaven no matter what, so I can be complacent in how I live. I can have an external relationship with Jesus and that's enough. Why? I've gone to church all my life. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I go to the Lord's Supper. And we can become so filled with the I. And we lose focus on the he. That is Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. Wide open is that door to you, but don't think that you can just have an external relationship with Jesus, keeping him at a distance in your life while you can carry on in your sins and your unbelief. Jesus comes to us today and gives us every reason to continue to love him as he has dearly loved us. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, he says. You see, Jesus has entirely changed our lives because he has forgiven us all our sins, because he has pardoned us of all our guilt. There is a response that comes from the new man that the Holy Spirit has created in us. We can't be lethargic and apathetic and say, no big deal. We have been changed. We are a new creation, as the scriptures say. And notice what the psalmist said today, too, in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise him, my inmost being. If our inmost being is moved by the love and grace of Jesus, we also are moved to respond to him as well. That we look upon these opportunities to worship him as a cherished treasure, not just my duty that I do on a Sunday morning. That we rejoice that we get to come up here to receive his body and blood, not because I'm doing my duty, but because I am a sinner who is in need, deep need of Jesus' body and blood each and every day. I need those things. You see, the Jews long ago in Jesus' day, they thought that they could just simply have an external relationship with Jesus. They were the ones who were caught in their unbelief, knocking at the shut door, saying, Lord Jesus, didn't we have a relationship with you? Why, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. Notice how Jesus frames those words. They didn't say, you taught us. No, you taught in our streets. They heard the word, but they didn't listen. They didn't take it to heart. Their hearts were not moved. Our hearts have been moved by God's love for us, that undeserved grace of God that has washed away our sins, that changes our lives completely. That wide open door has been given to you and to me. And we cherish that gift. We respond with that gift, with new life. Look at God's other creation. Did you have to tell the sun to get up this morning? No. The sun just simply rises and sets every day, doing what God makes it to do. Does the farmer have to stand at the field and tell the corn to grow and to become mature? No. The corn does it because God makes the plants do what they do. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And you do those things that you do because you are moved by his gospel that causes our hearts to rejoice in his great love because he has opened that door wide to you and to me. Notice what Jesus says here at the end. That believers will come from north and south and east and west, while others are shut outside the door to eternal life. Jesus was describing again those Jews who had Jesus very near to them, but then they did not take to heart the fact that he was their Savior. And yet God would say his gospel would go out to the four corners of the earth, and many would be brought in. They would hear the gospel. They would repent. They would believe in Jesus Christ, their Savior. And they would be welcomed in through that narrow door that was wide open, even for them. That's why Jesus says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. The Jews who had Jesus in their presence, they were the first who became the very last, shut out from that heavenly door. But we who are the last, we who are Gentiles, we who did not deserve the gospel, we who are thousands of miles away from Jerusalem and Israel, we have been brought near because of God's great love for us. Does that not cause us to rejoice? To know that God loved me, a lost and condemned creature, that he has purchased and won me, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live for him. Live for him each day who loved us and gave his very life for us. Dear friends, since the door is wide open, you know what that means? That door is open for you too. One day, even when we are on our deathbed, we will not search inside of us trying to find an answer of whether or not I'm going to heaven. We look outside of us to the cross, and there we see our Savior who paid for every single sin. Look to him. It's only by grace we are saved, and that grace is abundant in our lives. Enter through the narrow door, Jesus says. Jesus, and only Jesus, is that door. That door stands wide open with a broad invitation for you and for me. Amen.